بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, so in the last session we went through the final journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namely the journey of from this life to the next life, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, and we got to the part where thereafter Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu showed great maturity and was agreed upon by the Muhajirun and the Ansar to become the Khalifa, the first Khalifa of the Muslims after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once this had been decided, then it was time to pay attention to the shrouding and the preparation for the burial of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first and foremost, when the time came to bath and give ghusl to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the question first arose was whether to remove the clothes or keep the clothes on of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at this point, the narrations mentioned that all of a sudden, the individuals who were present became drowsy and they heard a voice informing them to not remove the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given ghusl with his clothes on, and then later the clothes were then removed. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was washing the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his two sons, Fadl and Kuthum, they were also bathing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were others who were pouring water over the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after the ghusl was complete, the clothes which were still on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were removed, and he was then shrouded with a kafan. And the shroud of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consisted of three simple sheets. There was no qamis or turban, amama. And then the question arose in regards to where to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shrouded, there was the question of where to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is a narration mentioned by Aisha narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that لَمَّا قُضْبِيَدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ اِخْتَلَفُوا فِي دَفْنِهِ فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ سَمِعْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ شَيْئًا مَا نَسِيتُهُ قَالَ مَا قَبَضَ اللَّهُ نَبِيًّا إِلَّا فِي الْمَوْضِعِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَيْ يُدْفَنَ فِيهِ فَدَفَنُوهُ فِي مَوْضِعِ فِرَاشِهِ. That Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, there was disagreement in regards to where to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something which I have not forgotten. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take the life of a prophet except at the location in which he wants to be buried. So they buried him at the spot where was the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And this is obviously today in the Hujra, in the room that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha lived. Now that the location had been decided, the bed would be moved and the grave was dug up in that place. There was now a difference of opinion as to what type of grave should be dug. The Muhajirun said that the grave should be dug according to the manner of the people of Makkah Mukarramah, and the Ansar said that it should be dug with a niche, a lahad, according to the manner of the people in Madinah Munawwara. So one is to dig the grave directly down and have a flat bottom of the grave, and one is to dig a grave with a lahad, meaning like a little compartment whereby the body then sits. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to dig the graves according to the Makkah manner, and Abu Talha used to dig the graves according to the Medina manner, in the way that the lahad was dug. Until today it's the same way in Jannatul Baqi' as well. There are two compartments. The grave is dug down, and on each side there is an area where you can place the bodies. So it was decided that both of them should be called. Whoever turns up first will dig the grave. And it just so happened that Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu came first, and this was the type of grave that was, the lahad was the type of the grave that was dug, as we can see from the image there. That's how it is in terms of a compartment to the right and the left sometimes, whereby the mayyat is placed. In this country it's very difficult. Why? Because of the soil being too soft. So it's not really possible to actually make a lahad and dig the grave in that manner. And now obviously it's changed even further, whereby there is the concrete around the actual grave and then the body touches the soil at the bottom. There is a narration in Ibn Majah where it mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed body had been bathed and shrouded, on the Tuesday he was placed on his bed inside his house. The people then entered the house of in groups, and they performed the funeral prayer, and this was done individually. As soon as one group left, then another group would enter and they would read the funeral prayer, janazah prayer. And it's mentioned that 30,000 people read the funeral prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam individually. And then in a narration mentioned by Ibn Sa'd, mentions that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered into the room with a group of people and stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They then recited this supplication, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu, until the end, which translates as, peace be upon you, O Prophet, and Allah's Messenger, and Allah's mercy be upon you. O Allah, we bear witness that indeed He has conveyed to us all that which was revealed to Him, and He advised His people and strove in the path of Allah until Allah made His religion victorious and completed its words. So make us, O our Lord, from those who follow the words which were revealed with Him, and gather us with Him so He can recognize us and we can recognize Him. For indeed, He was very gracious and merciful on the believers. We do not seek with our faith any alternative and do not want any price. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away around Zawal time on Monday. And this was the same day and time in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had entered Medina Munawwara around 10 or 11 years ago, prior. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried on the Wednesday morning. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his two sons, lowered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into his resting place. And then once the body was inside the grave, it was filled. The companions continued to fill it until it was shaped like a camel's hump at the top. So the earth in the middle was raised. And this is the way that even now the grave is supposed to be made. And then water was then sprinkled upon the grave. And after this, the companions, they returned to their homes. One of the first things that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did when he became the Khalifa was to dispatch the army of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So at the Battle of Muta, Zayd ibn Haritha was the one who was the father of Usama bin Zayd, who was the first general. And in the end, after a few other individuals, a few other Sahaba who were martyred, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied, then Khalid bin Walid, at the hands of Khalid bin Walid, the Muslims gained victory over the Romans. And this was prior, a few years prior to this. And then just before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was only 18 years old, he was the son of Zayd ibn Haritha, and he was appointed to take an army again to the frontier where the Romans, the border of the Romans aligned with the border of the Muslims. And because of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the army had left and they were camping outside of Medina Munawwara, but they hadn't actually left completely on their journey. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa, then he had the decision to make in terms of sending Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And at the time, some people did come to advise Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to change the Amir, yani Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu being very young. Some said that, why don't you change and make someone more experienced the Amir? But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave them a very straightforward answer that, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him as the Amir, how is it possible for me to be able to change him as the Amir? Right? So Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala remained the Amir, and they then went, and then the army returned victorious after 40 days. Again, this was just to let the Romans know that the Muslims were still a force, and they still had the power and the ability to attack the Romans as well. And then Usama radiallahu ta'ala returned, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came out of Medina Munawwara to welcome him. And then Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala entered into the masjid, read two rakat, and out of gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he returned home. So this was just sort of going into the khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we come to the end of the seerah that we started almost 5 years ago, or just less than 5 years ago. Slowly, we've gone through around 37 parts, just going through the different aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life in chronological order. So first and foremost, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an example for the whole of mankind, right? For every single individual, right? And it's full of simplicity, piety, and the focus was on following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in 23 years, through divine instruction and divine support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his character, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises in the Qur'an, that indeed you are upon exemplary character, he was able to transform the Arabian Peninsula. And when we talk about transformation,
We are speaking about those individuals who were in the completely in ignorance, right? To the extent that the Arabian Peninsula was not even attacked by the Byzantines or the Persians or the Romans or anyone, because they were almost a lost cause. These individuals were a lost cause, and the terrain was very, very difficult, desert terrain and all those things as well. But the individuals as well were seen as so ignorant that the Romans and the Persians didn't pay any attention to these individuals. And it wasn't worth their while to overtake this area, the Arabian Peninsula. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then within 23 years, these individuals became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. So imagine, and they became Ashara Mubashara, and they became those that took part in the Battle of Badr, and they became those that took part in the Battle of Uhud, and so forth and so forth. And they became completely different individuals, transformed individuals. And all this was because of the fact that they followed the instruction and the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if any individual like us as well, we still have the same deen, we still have the same Quran, we still have the same sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you truly want to live a life of happiness, in an individual capacity or in a collective capacity, then the only way to salvation or the only way to achieve that goal is by following the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In terms of, you know, removing any practices of ignorance from our lives, from the lives of our families, removing any innovations from our lives and the lives of our families. All of this is important. Why? Because then it deters us from following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we want salvation in this world and in the hereafter, the only salvation we can acquire is by following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we spoke about this in terms of the pagans and the polytheists were now the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, it was such a legacy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, then took the light of Islam to all corners of the world. Right, to all corners of the world and to different areas and through different times as well. Right? It continued. And this then continued within their families as well. Within their families as well. So just recently in India, there's a village called Kathur, Ghaliban Kathur on the river in Gujarat. So one person was telling me that around 450 years ago, there was a person who migrated from Makkah Mukarramah, was part of an Arab, migrated from Makkah Mukarramah, and he came to this village. The whole village were non-Muslim. They were Hindus. They'll be Hindus. And when he got there, he built a masjid. The first thing he did was he built a masjid. Right? So the people in the village, they saw his commitment, his conviction, and the whole village, and there must have been some other reasons as well, his character and so forth and so forth, the whole village became Muslim. And now, today, his lineage continues in Gujarat in the sense that there are individuals who are of Arab lineage from that village who are part of certain families who have this lineage of the Arab lineage. But the point being here, that these individuals, the only reason Islam reached the corners that we're from, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever it may be, the subcontinent, is because of the sacrifice of the Sahaba. Right? The Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabu'ut Tabi'een, and their progeny as such. So we are indebted to them in the fact that they took the light of Islam to all corners of the world. And to the extent that now we are here in the UK in a time where we have the opportunity to potentially build on this legacy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embedded within the Sahaba, and we have a responsibility to do that, right? So we should be looking to at the least change the narrative of the individuals, the indigenous population, those individuals that we live with who are non-Muslim, about Muslims, that how can they have a positive mindset in regards to Muslims. And sometimes we look at the bigger picture, but the smaller picture, our neighbor, our work colleague, and so forth, who we interact with, how can we make sure we show them the simplicity and the exemplary nature of Islam and Muslims. Right? Unfortunately, we sell ourselves short by not following the basic tenets of our faith, the basic tenets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those individuals who live and continue the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala became the companion that was the first Khalifa of the Muslims. This is just a summary of all of the events that took place in the 11th year of Hijrah. And to finally, in terms of learning about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal.
And we know that this is a special month in the sense that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into this world in this time, in this month. And we should be increasing our connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the year, whether it's Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Thani, whatever month it is. And the reality is that we have a responsibility to learn about his life, learn about his legacy, and it's a journey that will continue till our graves, right? So we should always be reading some aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether that is hadith, the prophetic narrations, whether that's his seerah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether that's tafsir, whether the commentary on the Quran, the exegesis on the Quran in terms of the word, the divine word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of these elements are part and parcel of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Muslims, we should be looking to try and increase our knowledge on a daily basis. Learn something new at every single day we should be learning something new. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our seat, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this seerah program. Inshallah, from next month, we'll be discussing something else. We haven't decided in terms of what will happen on the weeks that we had seerah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.